few words on our heart. I realize again that this is a day on the calendar that is set aside to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. I want to be led of God's Spirit this morning where He would have us to be. So you pray for us. We certainly desire your prayers and need His help. Colossians chapter 2, I'd like to begin in the first verse. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I believe we'll stop there. That's much reading, and certainly more than we could ever try to even scratch at this morning. I understand that. But for foundation and for context, to get maybe a better understanding. And I believe you can see some similarity in the writing, in the wording of this, as the other epistles were to Ephesians, and to Philippians and to Galatians. I believe you can see some of the same thoughts, some of the same words. But you notice we read in Him.
Amen.
Over and over. I mean, it's continually. I've not counted it, but the times, just in these few verses, we've read with Him and in Him.
Yes.
So that's where everything that you and I have and are and receive today comes from Him.
Amen.
The head.
Yes.
God has given His Son to be the head of the church.
God bless Him.
To be the head of you. To be your head individually.
Yes.
And to be your head collectively of the body, the church.
Yes.
Without a head, the body's useless.
That's right.
The body, there's no function, there's no ability without the head. So though, think about that as we try to look. There's really one verse that's on our heart in this. It's just been burning. But without Christ and without this head and without being in Him, as they sung a while ago, without Him we are nothing.
Amen.
So without this head and without being in Christ, you and I have no hope today.
Bless Him, Lord.
But, you know, to think as he starts this and writing this to them, as, you know, I see an encouragement. I see a help to this church, to Gentiles.
Bless Him, Lord.
Writing to Gentile people. And you know what? What went into the regions of the Gentiles was these traditions of men, was the tradition of religion.
Bless Him,
the
Lord.
The traditions taught and received of man to really and truthfully was to add to the work of Christ.
God bless Him.
Was in addition to.
Help Him, Lord.
You know, I don't believe there would be any question in trusting or believing in something other than Christ. I believe we could come together.
Help
on
Him,
that,
Lord.
That we wouldn't trust in anything else or in any other God, you might say, or anything other than Christ.
Help Him, Lord.
But, you know, therein is not the snare, but the snare is,
yes,
anything in addition,
yes,
to Christ.
Amen.
As they sung, thank God for Him singing that. It's in Christ alone.
Amen.
I read it to you. We read in the scriptures, in Him.
Yes.
Not in Him and me. Not in Him and you, but it's in Him.
Yes.
Oh, church, this is the gospel of,
yes,
the Lord Jesus, that it's in Him and in Him alone, in Him only, not in addition to. That's the teachings of men. That's the teachings of religion. That was the teachings of Judaism. It's Him, it's God and you. But friend, our righteousness, our peace, our sanctification, our justification is only in Christ.
Amen.
Nothing in addition to the work of Christ.
Amen.
The office of Christ. Nothing can I or you bring to the table that would add to that. Any adding to that, anything that I would bring to the table, listen, is idolatry.
Yes.
Honest to God, it's blasphemy. Anything else that I could bring in addition to Christ, to the work and the offering of Christ, the Bible says my righteousness is filthy rags. Anything in addition to that is useless. It's vanity. I tell you, there's no hope in any of it.
Amen. That's a God's truth. Help Him, Lord.
So it's in Him, and He's writing this letter to this church that just as the Galatians were, they had coming behind the gospel. Coming behind receiving the Lord Jesus was the teachings and the traditions of men. And Paul wrote a letter, God did, to this church to encourage them in their day. You know what I find that I need? I'll say for myself, you know what I find I need in this day?
God bless you.
I need encouragement from the Word of God.
Amen.
And you know what? God, in His infinite wisdom and determinate counsel, has pinned down some things that are written for my learning today.
Yes.
And for yours, for our benefit, for our help, our encouragement.
God bless Him.
You know, this church, they needed some encouragement. They needed some help. The Galatians, the churches scattered throughout Galatia needed some help. Tradition of men was creeping in. And taking, I tell you what the danger is, it takes your focus and your attention off of Christ and puts it somewhere else.
Amen.
God help us today, church. Thank God for a letter. Thank God for words from heaven to encourage us. And not only encourage, but to remind us.
Yes.
You know, we're forgetful creatures. I'll say for myself, I'm forgetful much of the time. And it takes God through His Word by His Spirit to remind us. You know, Peter wrote in his epistle, he said, I'm writing this to you.
Yes.
That I might stir up your pure mind.
Yes.
By way of remembrance.
Yes.
We have other scriptures that say, look back to the hole of the pit.
Yes.
From whence you are have been dug. Look where God came to you at.
Yes.
Look where God brought you from. What He delivered. I need to be reminded. Because if I'm not the carefulest in the world, the big head will get in.
God bless you.
I need to be reminded. When God came to me, brother, I was dead in my trespasses and sins, had no ability nor desire to get to God. God came to where I was, and it was God that raised me from the dead.
Yes.
But through time, through life, you know, if I'm not the carefulest in the world, Any time in my life that I think or that you think that we've got any kind of a handle on anything, we need to be reminded of the hole of the pit that God brought us from.
Yes, God help him.
So he's writing and he said, I want you to know the conflict, the desire that I have for you. And for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that what? That their hearts might be comforted. Being knit together in love. Again, the church as the body. Being knit together. And you know, we have scripture that tells us that in the body of Christ, there is no schism. There is no separation. There is no parting. There is no blemish. There's no blemish in the body of Christ.
Bless him, Lord.
If you're in Christ, it's through the working of the mighty power of God Almighty. If you are in Him and He's made you part of His body, that's a work that you or man did not and could not do.
Yes.
It's a holy work of God.
Yes.
It's complete. There's nothing wrong with the work that God did in you.
God bless him.
We read it.
Yes. Complete in him.
Ye are complete. You know what that word means? Perfect. In him.
Amen.
As Anthony said, in my flesh dwells no good thing.
That's right.
Absolutely nothing. In my flesh dwells nothing that I can bring to the table that God will accept. I tell you what God accepts. Is faith in His Son.
Yes.
I tell you what God accepts is my dependence solely on Him.
Yes.
I believe we can see that. And that's if God will help us, that's where I want to get us to. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what comforts me today?
Bless him, Lord.
Is to realize that the mystery that we spoke of. Brother, that I am in Christ and I'm accepted in Christ.
Yes.
I'm accepted in the blood. You
yes.
know what brings me comfort? Faith, brother, in the Word of God, that God cannot lie.
Yes.
And God said that I am in Him.
Yes.
I'm accepted in Christ. He, God, has made us accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
And God can't lie. He didn't lie to you. He didn't lie to his church when he said, I've accepted you in him.
Amen.
You're accepted with God today by faith in what he did.
Yes.
Praise his name.
Yes, thank God.
Therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God.
Yes.
And you know, it's not that I'm at peace with God. God is at peace with me. Oh, what a statement. That Jesus satisfied the wrath of God that was on me, that abided on my life. Christ paid that and satisfied God's wrath. And being in Christ, God is at peace with me today.
Yes.
You talk about a mystery.
Yes.
But to recognize that and to be reminded of that brings great comfort.
Bless him, Lord. God help him.
That brings great consolation to realize the work that God has done in me is an eternal work.
Yes. Please.
That cannot be altered. Thank God. That can't be changed. You know what God did? When he saved you, he made an everlasting covenant with you.
Yes. Bless him, Lord.
In whom? Again, in Christ. Everything that we have today, church, and you say, well, we know that. I believe what we do. But I also believe again that we can be forgetful creatures. And we can forget. Oh, God, help us. Forget where our help comes from. Forget that this all hangs in Christ.
Yes.
And you know what? It brings me great comfort and great consolation to recognize and to be reminded that this doesn't hang on me. This doesn't hinge on another man. It doesn't hinge on the church. Thank God it hangs on the Lord Jesus himself.
Amen.
That's a great comfort and a great consolation in my heart.
Yeah.
That it does not depend on my works.
Amen. Thank God.
Because at my best state,
yes,
I'm a failure. At my best state, I'm altogether vanity.
Yes.
Whoa, but when I read and God reveals to my heart that it hangs on Christ and it's in him I have these things, that can't be moved.
Amen.
That can't be changed.
Good advice.
Praise his name.
Bless him, Lord. God help him.
He's the same yesterday.
Yes.
And today. And forevermore. You know what I am? I'm fickle.
Yes.
I'm finite. I'm changeable. But he's not.
Amen.
When I am feeling the lowest that I've ever felt in my life, when I'm dragging my tracks out, when it seems like I can't lift my head up, oh, thank God. You and I have some instruction in the Word of God. And it tells us to look unto Jesus,
yes,
the author and the finisher. You know what if I look at myself just a short while, I'll go down in the feed.
Yes.
And there's no hope. There's no reason to carry on. But thank God, don't look at the flesh long. Get your eye on what Jesus did on your behalf. You better get back to him.
Yes.
I believe it's good. I believe for me it's necessary to look at myself and to examine myself. But don't stay there long. Oh, God. You know what we need today?
Help him, Lord.
We need Christ. You know what the church needs? You know what this body today needs? lost or saved.
Help him, Lord.
God's you know, the old saying is, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And lost or saved today, you know what you need? You need Christ. If you're saved, all of this is in Him.
Amen.
All of your righteousness, yes. All of your peace, all of your acceptance with God is in Christ. So I need to preach Christ to you. If you're lost and undone, I don't know. But all I can preach to you and give to you is your life, your peace, your righteousness is in Christ alone.
Amen.
Brother, He's the only name given among men that you can be saved. So I say to you, lost or saved, you need Christ.
Yes.
There's never a moment. There's never a second. There's never a day in your life, lost or saved, but what you need, Him.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Bless Him, Lord.
So listen, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I believe in the book of James you can find, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. It's in him. He's got a storehouse, brother, that never fails.
Amen.
He's got a storehouse that never has to be restocked.
No.
He's got a storehouse that's never depleted. Amen.
Yes.
Thank God, brother, in Him this has ever been. In God. And listen, it's hid for you, not from you, not against yes. you, but in God. These things are hid for your benefit.
Yes.
It's hid there for you.
Yes.
So if any man lack wisdom, ask. God, I need some help. Oh, church, you and I need wisdom today. We have need of wisdom from above. Well, this is just a small situation. This is just a light thing. I can handle it. Oh, God, you're already deficient. You need wisdom from God the Father. We've got a word that's written to help us. This don't point us to man. This don't point us to another person. This points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen.
God bless him.
In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. He's telling the church at Colossae, this is necessary and beneficial for you. I'm writing this to you. Lest somebody comes along with enticing words.
Yes.
What would them enticing words be designed to do?
God bless him.
Well, he says on down here, beware lest any man spoil you. And that spoiling is not like a rotten banana sitting on your kitchen table.
Tell it. God bless him.
You've seen them. We've everyone seen things that are spoiled, whether it be fruit or vegetables, whether it be meat. It's spoiled. It's no good. But that's not the picture. That's not what this is saying.
No.
I'll tell you, you remember back in the old Bible.
God help him.
When they went in and they conquered some land. And they conquered some kingdom. You know what they did? They'd take your house.
That's right.
They'd take what you had. They'd take what you had. They would take your goods.
That's right.
They would take what belonged to you and take them for themselves. They spoiled you.
Yes.
They took what belonged to you. They took your possessions. Yes. And it was no longer yours, but it belonged to them. And under God, he's saying, I'm writing this to you, lest somebody should come by with some enticing words. Oh, my God.
Help him, Lord. God, help him.
You know what we had just a few years ago?
Help him, Lord.
We had some enticing words from the news media and from the government. Huh? There was some enticing words there. And I'm speaking naturally per se, but it affected the spiritual well-being of the church. Amen. There was some enticing words came along. Oh, we can't go to church. We can't get in a crowd. We're going to have to stay at the house. Enticing words. Brother, now, oh God, a dear friend, and the church was beguiled, got drawn away by enticing words. Brother, and listen, in the church, went to the house for a few days. Honest to God, I didn't know this was coming. I'm a dear friend. That's how easily that it can creep in.
Truth. Yes.
It sounded reasonable, didn't it, to the natural mind.
Sure.
Yeah, that's probably a pretty good idea. We don't want to be sick. People's are dying. We probably ought to stay away for a while. Oh, brethren, don't you think even more enticing than that, even more so than that was in the natural to the church.
Yeah.
Brother, there's enticing words that will, I'll tell you what it's designed to do. It's designed to draw your attention and your affection away from Christ and place it somewhere else.
Yes.
And much of the time, you know what Paul wrote to Timothy? He said, the time will come. They won't endure sound doctrine, but they're going to hate to themselves teachers having itching ears. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come.
Yes.
Men shall be lovers of themselves. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're there today. That's what these enticing words are designed to do.
Sure.
It takes the affection and the love, the adoration from the head and puts it on the body. Puts it on me, but unto God, all my hope, all that I have comes from Him. So beware lest any man come to you with enticing words.
God help him.
To draw you away from Christ, to pull you away. You know what? That's exactly what the devil has been doing from the beginning.
Yes.
To steal you and to draw you away from God.
God bless him.
So listen. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. You know, he said to the Galatians, he said, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? Who's charmed you?
Yeah.
Who's wooed you into this?
God bless
you. I marvel that you're so soon removed from Christ. Well, I'm settled and I'm established and I know Christ and I know He's my all in all. Oh, dear heart, this is so subtle. These words can be so enticing. It sounds right. I'll tell you what it's enticing to.
Yes.
It's enticing to the flesh.
Yes,
it's enticing to the mind.
Yes.
And that it must be the right way. But dear heart, hear me. God help us every day to realize our hope is in Christ alone.
Amen.
It's just from Him.
Nothing else. Nothing else. God bless you.
I believe we're reaping the whirlwind in our churches today from enticing words. They've been drawn away from Christ to something else. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you want to call it.
That's right.
I don't care what title, what name you want to put on it. Anything other than Christ is idolatry.
Sure. God help him.
If I base my victory on anything other than Christ, I'm headed for defeat. If I hinge my victory, my deliverance on how I live and how I measure up and how I conduct myself, I'm headed, brother, for the valley just as fast as I can go.
Yes.
I'm headed for shipwreck.
Yes.
I'm headed for rock bottom. God, help us to realize our victory, dear heart, was won at Calvary. And if it was won at Calvary, it didn't hinge on you at Calvary, and it don't hinge on you today. Jesus Christ won the victory for His church by Himself, and He gives it to you by faith in Him.
Amen. God bless you.
Trying to get to the verse that's really on my heart. I believe God will help us with His word. Verse 5 says, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness," listen to this, "the steadfastness of your faith." Now, I realize, you know, we've got a canon of Scripture, and the Bible says that Noah, being warned of God, by faith, he built an ark.
Yes.
I'm not saying that faith, true faith, won't put you to work.
That's right.
I'm not saying that at all. We've got a canon of Scripture, brother, that tells us, James said, faith without works is dead, being alone.
Yes.
Faith will put you to work. It'll put you in action.
Yes.
But it's works of faith, not right. works of the flesh, not works of your righteousness or your ability. But Paul's saying, I'm joying, I'm beholding, I'm looking at your steadfastness of your faith. You know what pleases God today is faith, and faith alone. I'm enjoying, I'm beholding the steadfastness of your faith. God, help us, church, today, that the object of our faith be Christ and Christ alone.
Yes.
Not in anything else.
Amen.
At any time, at any moment, it must be in Christ.
Amen.
So listen. Verse 6. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." I'd like, by God's help, for just a few minutes to deal with this. As God would help us and open the Scriptures to us, I believe, as the two men on the road to Emmaus, Jesus drew near to them. And you know what they said? After He had revealed Himself to them at the breaking of bread.
Bless Him, Lord.
And Jesus left them. You know what they did? They turned right around and went right back to Jerusalem. And they spoke one to another and said, "Did not our hearts burn within us while He opened the Scriptures to us?" By the way, oh God, by His amazing Spirit today, open the Scriptures to us. Paul says, as you received Christ. So how? I believe we need to deal with that.
Yep, amen.
How did you receive Christ?
God bless Him.
How'd you receive Him? Were you not dead in your trespasses and sins according to the Bible?
Yes.
Were you dead in sin by Adam's fall and by one man's transgression, death and sin entered the whole human race. So by one man's disobedience, death came. And the Bible says that we were dead. Ephesians says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead."
Yes.
So how did you receive him? Was there not a quickening,
God bless him,
of the eternal Spirit of God? I'll say, if you ever received him, there was a quickening,
yes,
by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God that came to you individually.
Yes.
It's just like the valley of dry bones.
Yes.
Can these bones live? Oh God, thou knowest.
Yes.
If you're dead today, can you live? God knows. Brother, I'm here to tell you, it won't be by my persuasion. It won't be by the persuasion of man. You won't receive Christ that way. That ain't how he gets in your heart. I'm here to tell you, he don't move into a dead man. He don't move into something that's dead and has no life in it. I'm here to tell you, brother, by the power of the Spirit and the Word of God, he quickens you. I mean, he brings you to life.
Yes.
How? By the same power that God raised Christ with.
Yes.
He takes the same Spirit and the same power and raises you to newness of life.
Amen. Amen.
You don't move into a dead man.
No.
I'll tell you, honest to God, before he ever moves in, there's a quickening.
Yes.
There is an awakening that I am in need of God alone.
Amen.
He moves in something that's alive. The church today, I'll tell you, is a living organism.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Not an organization, but the church is alive, and she's alive through Christ and in Christ. And as you therefore received him, was it not by faith, by grace through faith, are you saved? Listen. And that not of yourselves.
True.
So it was nothing that you brought to the table.
Tell it.
That God used and that God accepted on your behalf. Honest to God, honey, God provided everything,
yes,
that you needed. God provided everything that he would accept.
Yes.
He was the only thing that he could offer.
Yes.
So as you therefore have received him, being quickened, being raised from the dead by the operation. I'll tell you what he says. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God. Do you believe that God raised Christ from the dead? Brother, I'll tell you, it's by faith. God wrote it down in his word, but I really can't understand that. I really can't believe that, only by faith.
That's right.
It's the only way I can believe it. Only way I can accept it. Amen. It's by faith, church. Your victory is by faith.
Yes.
Your acceptance with God, your,
yes,
justification is by faith.
Yes.
As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Oh, there's more in that one verse right there we can hope to even scratch. You remember what Jesus said? His disciples asked him one day. They said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?
That's him, Lord.
Now let's remember the order. Jesus said, unless you be converted.
Yes.
He called a little child to him. He brought the child in the midst. And he said, unless you be converted.
Yes.
And become as this little child. He didn't say become as this little child and be converted.
That's right. That's right.
The order of that is extremely important.
Amen.
He didn't say for me to come in and become like a little child and appear humble and meek and gentle and to come into the church and appear this or that and the other and then I could be converted. No! Friend, all things are open and naked under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God saw you. I tell you in Ezekiel, He said, polluted in your own blood. Nobody to love you. Nobody to care for you. Nobody to tend to you. I loved you with an everlasting love in that condition.
Amen. Thank God.
Don't try to put on no pretense to the church. To the preacher, to God Almighty. God's a looking. I'll tell you, He desires truth in the inward part.
Yes. God bless
you. We don't have Him fooled.
No.
He didn't say become as this little child and then be converted. I'll tell you the only way, truly, that I can become as this little child is to be converted.
Yes, sir.
Otherwise, I'm heady.
That's right.
I'm haughty.
Yes.
I'm high-minded.
Yes.
Otherwise, I don't need God.
That's right.
Otherwise, He's not all I need. I've got life by the horns. Everything's in control. I'm doing just fine without Him. Oh, God, I'll tell you enticing words you hear today.
Oh, yeah.
Me and God's got our own thing worked out.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you, not apart from the church of the living God, not apart from the vine. Amen. Can I remind you, you're just a branch in Him.
That's right. He's the vine. God bless Him.
You ain't got something worked out with God, some other deal on your own. No, I tell you, we're just like the book says. We've got all things common. We're grafted into Him. The true vine.
Yes.
It ain't me and God's got my own thing worked out. I can live and do however I please. No, I'll tell you, God sets up His throne. He sets up His kingdom in there, and them that belong to Him, He keeps. He keeps them. Now, listen, let me get back to this child. I believe some very sobering but honest words Jesus spoke. Except you be converted and become as this little child. You know what that little child is? You've got them. You've had them in your homes. You've had them under your feet. You know what they are? They are dependent on you.
Yes.
There was a time in my life I was dependent on my mom and daddy. I was dependent on their job to put the groceries on the table. Is that right?
Sure.
I was dependent on their home for shelter.
Yes.
I was dependent upon them, their protection, their provision. But there come a time that through life that I growed. I got married and I moved away. Oh, we've got instruction for that as well. But listen, I'm no longer dependent on my mother and father today. I've got a job. I work, and by the book, responsibilities laid upon me to provide for my house.
Yes.
But that's not the way it is in Christ. Amen. You outgrown, you that have moved out and no longer under mom and daddy's roof, no longer dependent upon them. I'll tell you, brother and sister, it's not the same way spiritually. That's the way the natural life works, but honest to God. I don't care if you're 100 years old today, anywhere in between, you are a dependent of God's.
Amen. Yes. Always.
And you know what? God willed it to be that way.
Yes. Yes.
You know what He said? We have this treasure in an earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know what God did? He put this treasure of His Spirit, of His witness in you, in an earthen, weak vessel, that the dependency would be on Him.
Amen. Yes.
On my insurance policy, my children, they're called dependents. Is that right?
That's right.
They're my dependents. They depend on me working that job to have that coverage. Well, I'll tell you, brother and sister, you and I, no matter what age, if we are in Christ, we are dependent on God for His coverage, for His provision,
yes,
for His protection, for His deliverance. No matter the age, no matter the circumstance, it all comes from God to us.
Amen.
So as you therefore received Him, if you received Him, you was converted. You was quickened by the operation of God. Honest to God, by the book, by the same operation, the same Spirit, and the same power that it took to raise Christ from the dead. You and I have been quickened with that same Spirit and that same power. Quickened by faith in the operation of God.
Yes.
Who raised Christ from the dead. You know, we've got more scripture that says, if the Spirit of Him,
God bless you.
If the Spirit of God that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you,
yes, yes.
Does that dwell in you? I'll tell you, dear friend, if it dwells in you, there's no doubt. If it's ever been there, there's no doubt. And if the Spirit of God dwell in you that raised Christ from the dead, He said He'll quicken your mortal body by that same Spirit.
Amen.
Did Christ get up? Well, by the book, if Christ got up, and when Christ got up, you and I, the church,
amen,
His body, got,
yes,
up with Him.
Yes.
Thank God there was more than Christ come out of that tomb. Amen.
Yes.
Brother, we got raised and quickened with Him.
Yes.
We were His. Praise His name before the foundation of the world. And Jesus knew exactly who He was dying for.
Yes.
Amen. He knew exactly who He was getting up for.
Yes.
Hey, and rather being buried with Him, have you?
God bless Him.
I'm not talking about a trip to the altar. Your trust and your hope and your faith had better not be in a trip to the altar.
Mm-hmm.
It better not be in the words that you prayed while you was in the altar. Amen. Brother, it better be solely in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It can't,
yes,
be in one thing that I did or you did or that you said or I said. Brother, it's only in Him today that I'm accepted in the blood. My hope, my all in all is in Christ.
Amen.
Not in me.
That's right.
Not to think that we are sufficient of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God today,
yes,
church.
Yes. God help him.
You think of a little child. You wonder why the Bible's wrote this way. Wonder why Jesus said them words. Except you be converted and become as this little child.
God bless him.
So if I'm 50... or 60 or 100. You know what my kids do? They come to me, every one of them. Our Leaston, even as young as he is, when I walk by, them arms go up. He wants me to get him. I don't care the age. I don't care the experiences you've had. I tell you, we are,
yes,
dependent,
yes,
upon God.
Yes.
We've got a command in the Word of God to grow in grace and in knowledge.
Yes.
But no matter the growth, no matter the knowledge, no matter the wisdom that God gives, I'm still His dependent. I still need Him.
Yes.
I don't have it figured out on my own. I don't know how to go through life. I don't know how to come to church. I don't know how to worship. I don't know how to be led. I need His help. I am God's dependent. I'm dependent. My life, my all hangs on Him today.
Amen. It's the truth.
I need Him. You need Him. When things are good, I need Him. When money's in the bank, I need Him. When life's hard, when there's no money in the bank, I need Him.
Yes.
Brother, whether I live or whether I die, I need Him. Oh, church, there's never a moment, never a time that we don't need Him as our all.
Amen.
Oh, God. So as you received Him, I'll tell you honest to God, if you've ever received Him, that's exactly how you come to Him.
Sure. Yes, yes.
I have nothing to give. I tell you what God done. He stripped you of what you thought you had.
Yeah.
You come naked.
Yeah.
You came empty. You came without one plea. But then it was His blood.
Yes.
That's how you received Him. If you've ever been born again,
that's
how you received Him. You had nothing. There was nothing else you were trusting in. I've made trips before out of pretense.
Let's see more. Tell it.
I made trips to get the preacher's eyes off of me. I've made trips to get the persuasion of man off of me, to satisfy man. But I didn't come as a little child depending on Him. I still had a little something I was holding on to.
Sure.
But I'll tell you, thank God. When God broke my heart, I didn't care who was looking, who was watching. I didn't care what the thoughts were. I needed God. I'm about to die and go to hell. I need Him tonight. Oh, and as you've received Him, walk in Him. The same way He draws you to Himself.
Yes.
Walk that way.
Yes.
You know, Peter and the disciples out there in the midst of the sea, and the storm was raging. Here comes Jesus walking on the water. I heard one preacher say that Peter was the church's favorite punching bag. I believe that's about right. He gets made fun of and gets put down. But whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning.
Yes.
Amen. I thank God I can see. You know, I don't care who, what patriarch, I don't care what disciple, you can see highs and you can see lows in their life.
Sure.
That's not written for me to look down my long nose at them and belittle them and say how sorry and how rotten they are. Oh my God, what about how sorry and how rotten I've been? Yet in mercy, God still loves me. But Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me to come to you.
Yeah.
Come.
Yeah.
Peter stepped out. I'll tell you, brother, come. That was the call of God. And it's still the call of God today. Come. But brother, your dependence, it will be 1,000% in Him. Out of there, He come. And you know what? He done like I do. He done like humanity does. He was a man of like passions.
Yeah.
Just as Elijah was.
Sure.
He began to look around at the circumstances. He began to look around at things that are seen. Amen. I'll tell you. What about God? What about the Lord? I'll say for myself, the way I view myself, He ought to just let me go under. But the cry from His heart as a little child,
yes.
Save me! I'll tell you, that's all it took.
Immediate.
That's all was needed.
Yes.
I'll tell you, and I'll say it wasn't even the words, but His dependence in a split second was right back on God, on the Lord. Save me. Thank God, brother. God's looking at the heart. And when you cry from the heart, save me. Thank God, dependence on Him, you can be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So as the way we got in this,
God bless him.
The way that we got saved,
Lord.
The way that we got started,
Lord.
Would you say that's how I'm to live today?
Sure.
Reckon that's how we're to live tomorrow? When life gets hard, when the way does get rough, you've experienced it in the days gone by. When things get a little rocky, when things get a little rough, don't look around. Don't look somewhere else. You know what we got today?
Nothing more.
Bunch of bird dogs ready to point at somebody else. Ready to lay the blame somewhere else. Don't look around. Just depend on God. Lift up holy hands to God and rely on His provision. What He sets on the table is for your good. Depend on Him. You know, I'm reminded, I think of the shipwreck there in the book of Acts. And there was some men on there. Undercover, the Bible says, under guise.
Mm-hmm.
They was acting like they was lightening the load of the ship. But what they was doing was letting down the lifeboat.
Yeah.
They're just going to get out of there is what they thought.
Yeah.
And God, brother, turned His Paul's eyes and caught her attention. He told the captain of the ship, he said, except these abide in the ship, they cannot be saved. Oh, unto God, accept your dependence today. Liberty Church, be on God. You cannot be saved.
God bless him.
They was in a storm, and I believe you could say a storm and a half.
Yes.
But I'll tell you where they needed to be was right there in the ship. Depending on God. Oh, God, help us today. Regardless of what we think we know, what we think we're capable of. To be just like that little child. You know, that's an humbling thing. Right? Even in natural life and natural children, I see it in some of mine. They want to be independent so bad. They want to do certain things on their own so bad. And you know what they do? And I'm not making fun of them, nor any other one. But you know what they do a lot of times? They make a mess. They mess it up. You know what you and I do? Friend, when we try to do something on our own, when we try to get our hands, our mind, our thoughts, our opinion in the mix of things, we're going to make a mess. Yeah. I tell you what we still need is to have our arms up dependent upon God Almighty. I don't know how to do it. I'm not independent. I'm not learned. I'm not able. I have no ability. God, I need you today. You know what I say to my kids? Wait just a minute and I'll help you. You know what they do? They get antsy. Well, thank God. They get impatient. So do I. So do we. You know, we want it done right now. Yeah. The mentality of mine is, when I say it, I should have it right now. You know what my mentality is in the natural man? I want it right now. But I'll tell you, brother, our dependency better be on God. If they that wait on the Lord. I tell mine all the time, wait just a minute and I'll help you. You know, if they'll wait, I can help them. And I can show them. And they can learn. It'll help them be independent down the road. But again, I want to say, brother, the natural is not the same way spiritual. We never have a handle, an idea. We ain't never got it figured out how to do.
Amen.
We're dependent on Him.
Yes.
So as you received Him, I believe if you've ever received Him by faith, honest to God, you can recollect, your mind, brother, can go back. You was dependent on God. You didn't have one other hope, one other plea, nothing else to depend on but the blood of Christ. I'll tell you, honest to God, as you received Him, walk in Him.
Amen.
That same way.
Amen.
Dependent upon His provision. You know, we've got Bible that says, He shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. Well, I want to tell you this morning, God has done that. He's provided what you needed.
Yes.
Oh, church. He provided Christ for you.
Yes.
He provided Christ and imputed Christ's righteousness to you by faith. You receive that righteousness, that holiness, that perfection of the Son of God. You receive that by dependence on Him. Every day of your life, every moment, every trial, every valley, every mountain, we're going to need His help. We're still going to be dependent upon God till we leave this life. Amen. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We are to grow.
Amen.
Not to stay on milk all of our life. You know, Paul wrote to one of them, I believe the Corinthians, he said, the time's come, you ought to be teachers, but you have need of somebody to teach you again. We are to grow, church. There, I'll tell you, I don't believe you can be grafted into the vine and the root. I'll tell you, the Bible says we are partaker of the root and the fatness.
Yes.
If you're in Christ, there will be growth. But in the midst of growth, you know, when the branch has the fruit out there, that branch ain't cast off and it bears the fruit of itself, does it?
No.
No, it's still dependent upon the vine and upon the root. It still needs Him.
Amen.
We still need Him,
yes,
church.
Yes.
In every aspect of life, we need him.
Amen.